evening, sweet listeners. Welcome to another strange and harrowing evening of Brian and Eric Up Along Here. I'm one of your hosts, Eric. I'm so warmed up right now. I couldn't be warmer, in fact. I'm hot. It's like in a sauna.
I have to admit what I did?
I don't know. I think that's between you and yes, for sure. You definitely do.
So we got a couple of minutes into a opening of the show. And oops, I forgot to hit record. It happens. So oops, haha, that was a laugh. We reset. We did the whole thing again. We did the whole intro. And we got talking to our wonderful guest who's joining us this week. Yep. And I realized, once again, I had not hit record.
Are we recording right now?
We are fully confirmed.
Not recording.
Oh, no.
Yo, brother.
Okay. Brian and Eric Don't Belong Here. It's a spooky ghost podcast where idiots make mistakes. We have a guest. It's Dewey Morrison.
It's Dewey.
Hello.
Dewey,
hello.
I swear we're recording this time.
That's so nice. It's so nice to be here.
I'm so glad.
That's a theme song. What is it? John Carpenter? That is some excellent stuff.
Yeah.
The theme song that we've gotten to listen to three times, that's Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Entirely free. It's just on YouTube. It's the guy has a ton of tracks, like three albums worth of tracks of like spooky electronic-y tracks. And they're free to use for whatever.
They're great.
As long as you credit him.
They're all great.
Carl Casey at White Bat Audio.
What a nice guy.
It's I had said before, but like you would assume I paid for that. And no.
It was
just
that good. It
yeah,
was that good.
It's incredible.
You know, that'd be like, you know, like if he was like handing out just like blocks of cheese on the side of the street. You know?
He probably does, honestly. He's that kind of guy.
Should we get Carl Casey at White Bat Audio just on the show?
I was going to suggest that. I think it'd be incredible. Great. Do you think if he does hand out, you think he'll bring us cheese during that appearance?
I feel like maybe we're getting a little too hung up on the cheese that we've invented for him.
I feel like he's a cheese guy.
I think that's an unfair expectation to put on.
Do you know what else is crazy about him, though? I actually just Googled him. He died in 1967.
Get out of here.
How did he
know? Yeah, this track was released in 1995.
Yeah.
Dewey Morrison, how are you doing, man? Thank you for coming back on.
Yeah.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I love it. I love this. It's I like coming to talk to people, you know, during the pandemic. I was so happy to talk to the cashier at Trader Joe's today. It was good until I kissed his neck and he was just
that
like,
I could see maybe where things went wrong.
Well, which side of the neck?
That does make a difference, left or right.
Oh, it was the right, and the kiss didn't bother me. It was my plastic vampire teeth.
Yeah, that'll get them. They're a little sharp, you know?
Yeah.
They don't know if the blood on them is fake or real. It's a whole thing.
It's an easy mistake. We've all made it. You know, it's sometimes you forget to record the show three times, and sometimes you kiss a Trader Joe's employee on the neck with fake vampire teeth. We all make mistakes, guys.
We all do it.
Yeah. Well, I was there for the cheese.
Yeah. What kind of cheese?
Oh, the Carl Casey special, of course.
Uh-huh.
White cheddar.
White bat cheddar.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
I want to say one last thing about cheese. When I was in the Bronx 2 weeks ago, Good Friday, there was a line down the street on Arthur Avenue for mozzarella cheese.
Oh, baby.
And I asked the girl, it was the best New York question. I'm like, excuse me, miss, what's everyone in line for? And she's like, mutts.
Yeah,
like
mutts
of it. Idiot of all time.
Got to throw out there the my stock answer. And it was funnier back then. I've been doing it since high school when the film came out. And it's my children will hate that I do it because it's been my stock answer since high school. Excuse me, what's everyone in line for? The Da Vinci Code. End of.
I don't even get it.
It's, I don't know. There was a hot minute where people were lining up to see the Da Vinci
Code.
And
it was Da Vinci Code. Da Vinci Code was a popular film.
It was a popular, it's not a very good film.
No, it's not. I've rewatched it. It's not great.
It's.
Welcome to Brian and Eric Don't Belong Here, where we dissect the Da Vinci Code, the film.
Actually,
not
there's
the book.
A lot
the book
of like
was great.
There's a lot of conspiracy stuff in the Da Vinci Code.
Oh, so we could cover the Da Vinci Code.
I can't believe we're going to cover the Da Vinci Code today.
We signed up.
It turns out I am an expert. I actually interrogated Tom Hanks.
Wow. Yeah.
Did he crack?
Yeah, yeah. I got him with the vampire teeth. He's like, that's scary, I'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I say something about Tom Hanks?
Please say something about
it's
Tom Hanks.
It's going to get the pot in trouble.
You know what? I'm ready to go to war with Tom Hanks.
Okay, great. So he did get wrapped up in the whole, the QAnon freaks kind of put
what?
A target on his back. On Tom Hanks' back, America's dad, lovable actor.
Yeah.
He does have the weirdest Instagram.
Does he? I will say I've never seen Tom Hanks' Instagram.
It is filled with pictures of like children's shoes and gloves. Not kidding. He may have taken it down. Not kidding you. It's literally like with these like cryptic comments of like, it'll be like a lone child's glove in Central Park. And it'll be a comment like, looks like little Timmy has a cold hand today. And it's like, dude, what are you doing?
I do wish he didn't do that.
Say, I don't think he's part of any like no. massive QAnon conspiracy, but like, bro, chill and pump the brakes on your Instagram.
Independently, like I said, he's definitely, I would bet my life that Tom Hanks is not a part of any sort of crazy QAnon conspiracy.
Sure.
That said, I wish you wouldn't do that.
Don't
stop,
do that.
Stop doing, independently of that, don't do that anymore.
It's very strange. It's very strange.
Question, guys. So we have a plan for taking calls again on this show. We used to take calls all the time. It was one of my favorite parts of this show.
Oh yeah.
We kind of stopped doing it, and then like we came back for volume 2 of this podcast, and we had a little bit of trouble getting calls going.
Yep.
So what I've done now is I've reached out to people and I've pre-arranged ahead of time.
Yep.
People to call.
We're flipping this. They used to call us. Now we call
now we
you.
Call them.
We're calling you.
Now we call them. Now I said I would call sometime in between 8 and 9, which is the time in which we were recording. We've
okay.
lost. That was supposed to be towards the tail end of the show.
Maybe we do it in the beginning.
I think we have to start it because.
Dude, is that okay if we do that?
Absolutely.
Great. Cool. I
don't know anything about this person.
I reached out for ghost stories.
Okay.
And this person reached out and said they've been experiencing paranormal activity since they were 4 years old.
Hoo doggy. That's what we like to
They're
hear.
They're 46 now.
I think we're the guys for the case.
I think we're the guys.
That's 42 years. Someone check my math. That's a couple decades of...
That's a lot of paranormal activity. So I'm going to give them a call right now.
Incredible.
We're back, baby. We're just figuring this out as we go. This is live. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm excited about it.
God.
Let's see here. I'm literally dialing the number.
It's the only drug I need.
I almost started reading the number, and that would have been really bad.
Hold on. You're calling Carl Casey, right?
Of course,
yeah.
For some cheese.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good sound.
Hello.
Hi, is this Jude?
Yes, this is Jude, the foul-mouthed female.
Jude, you're on Brian and Eric Don't Belong Here. You are live right now with I'm Brian. You're here with Eric and Dewey Morrison. Hello.
Jude,
how
are
you?
Hi there, everybody.
So, Jude, I reached out looking for callers to tell us some ghost stories, weird paranormal things that they've experienced, and you reached out. You said you've been experiencing some weird things since you were 4 years old.
That is correct.
Could we pick your brain about that?
I'm sorry?
Could we pick your brain about that?
Oh, please do. I'd love the chance to talk about it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Our good friend Dewey Morrison here, who is a wonderful comedian. Dewey, you've also had a handful of paranormal experiences yourself.
Since like middle school, tons. Yeah.
All right. And Eric and I are enthusiastic researchers.
Yeah, scholars and explorers of the occult.
So we're very excited to get into this with you. So Jude, the floor is yours.
Okay. Great. So I went ahead earlier today and made a list of the six most major experiences.
Six.
Yeah.
We're buckling in. I would love to hear all six.
Okay. All right. Great. So, well, first I want to start off by saying that I am a big fan of science.
Okay.
And scientific research.
So
and
are
I
we.
Do firmly believe in my heart that any experience that could be classified as paranormal will one day be explained by some law of physics we haven't discovered yet.
Mm. I think generally the thesis of our podcast would agree with that as well.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Cool. That's great. All right, great. So, all right, I'll jump into it.
That said, we love weird shit.
Yeah, me too. About 4 years old, in my bedroom, I woke up in the middle of the night, and standing at the foot of my bed was a man who kind of like looked like Revolutionary War-ish.
Hmm. Okay.
Like that type of,
meaning like they had like a uniform on or a wig or what? What'd you see?
No, it was more like, you know, those like ruffled shirts and like vests with like pants that stop at the knees type of thing, you know? And he did not have a head. He just had a bloody stump.
No head. Wait,
not great.
Can you tell us generally what part of the country you live in?
Do we ask if you could ask as broadly as you're comfortable with what part of the country you live in?
Oh, I am in the Midwest.
Okay.
In the Chicagoland.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Do we, would that stoke anything for you?
I just thought I have a weird Chicago ghost story, but I thought she was going to be like, oh yeah, Sleepy Hollow, Nia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's around the Hudson River, yeah.
So it was kind of bad. So basically, I saw that, I started screaming. That figure was just standing there until my parents ran in the room, flipped on the light, and of course it was no. But I was absolutely awake at that point, you know.
Yeah. No. So you don't think it was any sort of like sleep paralysis situation?
Well, I mean, at 4 years old, it's kind of hard to say.
Sure. Of course.
That's one of my earliest memories, and it's a very extremely vivid memory.
Wow.
And I think I will remember it and carry it with me all of my life.
Wow.
And was there, Jude, was there any sort of like interaction? Did this entity or vision like interact with you in any way, or was just standing at the foot of the bed, just headless? And
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just standing there. And if it had, it would have been staring at me.
Wow.
But there was no. So it was just facing me. And yeah. And disappeared when my parents turned on the light. And sure, I told them what happened. They told me it was a dream, and I think that was that. So I can move on to my next most major experience.
Sure.
I was about 8 or 9 years old, living in the same home, and I was in it was one of those shotgun apartments. So there's like, you know, front room, living room, kitchen, and then all the bedrooms and stuff. So I was standing like towards the front of the house, looking back. My room was more towards the kitchen, so I probably was going to my room. And the kitchen where the bed was completely pitch black. There was no light on it.
Jude, you're breaking up a little bit. Not sure if that's a problem on my end or your end.
I have to interject real quick, too. Do you guys hear that, like, creepy, high-pitched piano music?
Yeah, I put that on purpose, too.
Okay, yeah. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's our
story. I was actually going to try to prank you guys today with, like, ghost sounds on YouTube. And I was like, did they beat me to it?
Awesome. Sorry to interrupt, Jude. So you're in a, just because you were breaking up a little bit, so you're going into a dark room?
Dark kitchen, I think,
dark
right?
Kitchen.
Yeah, my bedroom at that time was like right before the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it was like in the off of the dining room, and then from there was the kitchen, and then the bathroom was off of that kitchen. So I was probably going to my room, probably going to bed, pitch black kitchen, pitch black, you know, bathroom off of the kitchen. And I could see this bright white hand with the fingers splayed, sticking out of the bathroom, kind of up very close to the top of the door jamb. And I was not scared. I was almost, I was like fascinated by it.
How old are you? And you maybe broke up. You maybe broke up at this point. How old are you at this point?
8 to 9, I think.
I was about 8 or 9.
Okay.
Yeah, I was
got
about
it.
Eight or nine years old.
I apologize for interrupting.
So next thing I know, I was actually standing in front of that pitch black bathroom in the pitch black kitchen looking for that hand. Of course, there was nothing there.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so that happened. All right. And then I'm sure I probably just went to bed and filed it away in my memories.
Did you tell your parents about that experience?
I don't think so. I don't think I've actually told anyone until I ended up telling my daughter, you know, later in life, you know.
Wow.
I don't recall ever telling anybody about that. But I haven't told most people any of these stories.
Sure.
Like, my daughter's heard them all. But maybe one or two other people in my life have heard a lot of these. So,
okay. And now you're telling it on a podcast for Baker's dozens of people.
That's right. I figured, you know, why not just bust right out with
go
it?
Go big.
Right?
Go big.
Yeah. So around that same age range, I would say somewhere between 8 and 10 years old, I had another much more frightening experience.
Oh, man, it's ramping up, huh?
So, yeah, so my parents' bedroom was in the front of the house. My bedroom was in the middle of the house. So one night I was standing. It was middle of the night. Everybody's asleep. I was standing in front of my parents' bedroom, and I was looking at myself. Standing outside of my bedroom.
I was
just staring at myself.
That's
and
so fucking freaky.
From what?
I want to put a pin in this for later. I have a kind of a story that's similar to that. I'm going to make a note to
that. Do you think it was sort of like an out of body thing, or like there was another physical presence who looked exactly like you?
Well, this story's not done yet.
Okay. I apologize.
Yeah. The next day, my mother asked me why I was standing outside of my bedroom in the middle of the night.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow.
So basically, I was looking at myself through my mother's eyes. I was seeing myself because my mom said, yeah, you and I asked you what you were doing, and you just turned and went back into your room. So, I mean, she probably, you know, went to the bathroom and went back to bed herself. But that was, yeah.
Dewey looks shook right now.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah,
that's
was
wild.
A very scary, yeah. That one stuck with me for still today. I still have no idea. But that apartment that I grew up in my early years, that place was like, there was always weird stuff. Even my mom had weird experiences there. So,
oh
yeah,
man,
that
blows my theory. I've had a general theory on the show of like not being spooked out in apartment buildings because spooky stuff would be everybody in the building's problem. Though you're now making me rethink that comfort that I've given myself.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's a house or apartment or
damn
a barn
it.
Or a parking lot
damn
or. Or an elevator or whatever. If you have a sensitivity to like experiences that you can't see, we'll call them paranormal experiences.
For lack of a better word, yeah.
Then yeah, I just feel like you can have an experience anywhere. It just doesn't matter if the subatomic particles are moving in the right way.
Yeah.
You're gonna have some kind of weird thing happened to you.
Jude, what was it about this apartment? Was it just the vibe? It was just the sense of what was going on there? What was the deal with this place?
no idea. I grew up in the city of Chicago and lived there until I was 10. So it was like a Victorian age building. So it was like, you know, probably 100 years old or maybe even more at that point. So maybe just a lot of stuff happened there in the past. I don't know. And, you know, just happens to be that the females in my family have a sensitivity to stuff like that, because my daughter also has experiences from time to time. So
that's awesome. Well, I guess I can tell you
about the scariest thing that's ever happened to me, though.
Please, we would love to hear that.
Okay, so I spent a lot of my teenage years and early adulthood trying to avoid things like that happening, you know, experiences like that as much as possible. But after I had my daughter, I was 27, and it was, again, middle of the night. She was hungry, so I went into the kitchen and started heating up a bottle for her. I think she was like maybe 4 to 6 months old at this point. When my boyfriend at the time, who was asleep in the bed, I was at the stove, and at the entrance to the kitchen, he was standing there. My boyfriend was standing there looking at me. He was standing there in his tidy whities, because he was a tidy whitey kind of guy.
What a choice.
And, I was looking directly at him, but I could not see him clearly. I was looking directly at him, but it was like I was looking at him from the corner of my eye. So if you can imagine, it was not clear, very kind of distorted type, you know. But, I mean, obviously it was him, you know, it was clearly him. I just couldn't see him completely clearly. And he was just kind of staring at me with like kind of an angry look on his face. And I probably asked him, like, what the hell are you doing? And then all of a sudden, it rushed at me and passed through me. And I felt it pass through my body. I physically felt that. And I turned off the stove, quietly walked into the bedroom, got into the bed, and just kind of sat there and stared off into space. And my boyfriend was like, what's wrong with you? Why do you look like you just saw a ghost? And I told him what happened, and he was like, yeah, you're crazy. And I was like, I felt that shit. Okay.
Yeah.
So
are these events happening
really
in...
physically?
Yeah. Are these events happening far enough between each other that does it feel surprising every time, or does it hit a point where it's like, yeah, weird shit happens to me sometimes?
I mean, weird shit has happened. I mean, it happens to me on nearly a daily basis.
Daily?
Where they'll be like, yes, like I'll see like a person out of the corner of my eye and turn to look. Like when I'm in my apartment, I live with two cats. So it's me and two cats in a one-bedroom apartment.
And some ghosts.
And so there's nobody else in the apartment. But I see a person. I turn to look. There's no person there. So stuff like that happens to me. And it has happened to me. But those I don't consider, like, really major experiences. Because that can be kind of explained away. Like, oh, it's a shadow, you know, in the darkness. Sure. Or you got something in your eye or something like that. So those can kind of be explained away, like maybe it's not a paranormal experience, or maybe it is. So I don't count them as major, but these experiences definitely I have no other explanation for, other than there's something out there that we don't know. You know, there's right. more to this.
What do you think
existence.
It, with this incident with the apparition of your boyfriend in the kitchen? Like, what do you think that is? Was that something from him? Was that just another, in just the way you felt and experienced it? Like, what is that you saw?
I can only speculate based on how I was feeling. That apartment that I was living in at that time was also very, very creepy. The owner of the place was super creepy. Mm. And I never really felt comfortable living there. And although I did not know it at that time, that boyfriend, my baby daddy, for lack of a better word, he was a narcissist and extremely abusive, mm. not physically, but in every sure. other way.
Sorry to hear
you
that.
Know, so I think, you know, maybe some spirit was passing through and kind of picked up on that energy.
Sure.
And directed it straight at me. Maybe the spirit was trying to warn me, because he did go on to make my life a living hell for the next 18 years.
Interesting. So, sure. You think, but yeah, maybe, yeah. maybe the spirit had your back a little bit. Dewey, as someone who's right. had paranormal experiences, do you have any like thoughts so far on these? Do these, ring as universal experiences for sensitive people
yeah.
too?
It's interesting how similar, you know, similar they are to some of my experiences that I talked about in the last episode. And I kind of agree. Like, if I see something when I wake up in the middle of the night or out of the corner of my eye, like see a shadow move, I go, well, that was scary, but I don't know if that, I'm not going to say that was anything. Like, there's a different feeling that you get when it's, when someone else witnesses it. That's the craziest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's slightly less than that when you go, like, well, I mean, I've never, like, felt. But when you start to hear physical bonkers. Things like one time I heard a coffee pot being turned on and off, and it's, you know, or like
mm-hmm.
when yeah. you in your waking light, when you're awake, physically see and feel it or hear, when more than one sense is involved, that's when it gets really
yeah.
scary. Like, what, your eyes are yeah. always playing tricks on you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you add a second or a third sense, that is like when you definitely. Your spiritual tinglies turn on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
well,
I'll tell you, apartment building. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jude.
Oh, well, I was just going to quickly say, but in the 20 years that has passed since that experience, my feelings about the paranormal or supernatural have changed significantly. So, and I can get more into that because my two last experiences have happened within the last year that I'll say really quick that anybody who says they have all the answers is a fool, and mm-hmm. I have zero answers. I can only speculate based on my experiences and feelings. But I definitely do believe that having paranormal experiences is like a talent, like singing or drawing or playing an instrument or something. I really do believe that there are just some people who have it and some people who don't. And people who don't, of course, are skeptics because they don't have it.
Right.
But again, it's something that is based in our very own chemistry, and ultimately, I believe, will be explained. You know, if humanity can survive long enough to discover more laws of physics,
fingers
that
crossed.
We don't currently know.
So you have two more. Yeah, you have two more experiences.
Yes. So in the intervening years, I spent a long time, like I said, you know, being really afraid and trying to avoid paranormal stuff at all costs.
Mm.
But I now fully embrace it. My home is like a beacon, and I invite spirits to come and go as they please.
Okay.
This is a place of respite. I invite spirits of light and spirits of darkness, because I do not believe that there is any such thing as good and evil, only except when it comes to humans.
Okay.
Only humans are good or evil. Everything else in nature is, it just exists. It just is. So, and we need both light and darkness for existence altogether. So I am not afraid of these most recent experiences or any other experiences that I have. I welcome them, and I'm very happy and hope to have more in the future.
That's great.
So when I... I've lived in the building that I live in now for about 3.5 years.
Okay.
But I moved into this particular apartment last summer. So I've been in this building for a while, but this apartment for slightly under a year. When I first moved in, this is early June of last year, I was still kind of putting, you know, everything together. The closet in my bedroom was pretty much empty except for hangers. And I was standing in front of the closet, and my cats were, one cat had followed me into my bedroom, so he was directly behind me. And the other cat was off to the side sleeping. So this had nothing to do with my cats. My cats didn't do anything.
Got it.
But one of the hangers in my closet started bouncing around like it had been hit by something.
Okay.
And so I turned around just to double check on where my cats were. And as I turned around, a gray figure walked past me.
Don't like that.
And so I was like, all right. All right, are you here to help me or are you here to hurt me? And I was instantly hit with like a wall of confusion of like, what? Wait, that's not what I was expecting to hear.
You know, yeah, interesting.
It was like,
so
you know,
a wall
there was
of confusion
that was,
like from this entity that you're observing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was just because it was instant. It was like, wait a minute. That's not what you're supposed to say.
Like it
you're
surprised
supposed to be scared
you're
right now.
It. Yeah.
Yes. And yeah, so I kind of, you know, turned the tables at that time. And yeah, it's, like I said, they kind of come and go as they please. And this was, by the way, in the middle of the day, had not been sleeping immediately beforehand, so didn't
sure.
wake up from a dream or anything
like that.
You're
fully lucid,
so,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I was in the process of trying to get my clothes up into my closet.
Sure.
So,
inconvenient.
Yeah. it definitely wasn't a dream.
Right. Wow. And
yeah.
you have another one, right?
Yes, and this... It's more than an experience. It's an entity in and of itself. And I call it Legs.
Hmm. Okay.
And it is a being, a spirit, or whatever you want to call it, that I have seen several times. In broad daylight, I was at the gas station once. I was driving in my car the first time I was driving, and these legs walked directly behind my car.
Huh.
And I said, whoa, holy crap. Did I just almost run someone over?
Like, yeah.
Like just
and I
disembodied
stopped and I'm looking around.
Legs?
I'm looking around. Just, yeah, just a very, very well-dressed, like dress pants, dress shoes, all black.
That
so
is a new one.
Hair
what?
Wearing pants. Okay, that's good.
Good. That,
yes.
good at least wearing
yeah,
pants.
Like, yes, wearing pants, like black dress pants, black dress shoes. You know, like shiny, pointy kind of dress shoes.
And they just
cut off
at a certain level? There's nothing above a certain
yeah,
point?
Yeah, well, I had seen them in my rearview mirror,
okay.
which from that perspective was more like I could see, because I have an SUV, so it's like windows
it.
All the way around.
Got it.
And I could see more like of that angle.
Got it. That makes sense.
You know, like more of like leg level, I guess. So, but yeah, I was like, whoa, did I just almost run someone over? Holy crap.
Right,
so I stopped and I'm like looking around. There's no one. Yeah. There's absolutely no one except for the other cars driving. So I'm like, what the hell? And then like maybe 2 weeks after that, I saw them at the gas station. I was in the gas station, walked outside of the gas station, saw a figure from the corner of my eye, turned to look, saw the legs, turn quickly and walk behind a car. So I start walking up because my car was actually parked that way. So I start walking towards my car and I look and I'm looking over by this car and there's again, no one. There is no one. And a car came on that side street And if there had been someone like hiding behind that one vehicle that was parked there, that car that had driven past would have hit them. Because from where I was standing, I could see basically everything around it, around that vehicle, except for one, that one spot right in the road, just because of the angle that I was looking at it at. So there was absolutely no one there. I, you know, car went by, I go over there, I'm looking, there's no one. So I'm like, okay, I don't know what this is, but this is super cool. I really like these legs.
Seem like cool legs.
Yeah. So I call them legs, you know, because, I mean, it does, it seems, it appears to be a pair of male legs.
Sure.
So I use he, him pronouns for it.
Got some German legs.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then one time, and this, and again, this was a I woke up to, so it may or may not have been a real experience.
Sure.
But did see them walking on the ceiling outside of my bedroom one night after I had. Now, there's definitely a top half to this being, but it's like you can't notice it.
Sure.
Or I should say, I can't notice it.
Sure.
Like, I can only notice the legs.
How do you, so how do you know there's
strange.
A top half? What leads you to believe that there's a top half?
It's, you know, it's just, it's almost like, it's like you're walking down the street and someone walks past you with like an interesting shirt on and you notice the shirt, but you haven't noticed the rest of the person.
Sure.
Like if someone asked you, what did that person look like? And you'd be like, I only
looking
saw
at
the
legs.
Shirt. Sorry.
Yeah. These well-dressed
right,
legs
yeah.
distracted.
So like
I can't
that.
Even see anything else. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So it's like you're, it's the focus is on the legs, but there's a top half. You just can't focus on it.
Hmm,
so,
more.
So yeah. So, who knows if legs makes another appearance in my life or not?
Yeah, you gotta let us know if that is the case.
Tweet at us,
Jude. This was an incredible call.
Yeah.
We can't thank you
enough.
Thank
you so much for sharing all of this. Yeah,
it's my pleasure.
Really, really incredible. Please let us know if you have any sort of updates,
legs or anybody else.
I will. I definitely will. I'm following you guys now. I looked through some of the titles and I was like, oh yeah, this podcast, this is my cup of tea right there.
I hope you like
it. I'll definitely be like listening to your guys' other, you know, episodes and stuff.
Thank you so much, Jude.
Yeah, thank you.
And
Jude.
I'll let you know.
Wonderful. This was a top tier call. I'm gonna say one of the best we've ever had in the history of the show.
Absolutely.
Jude, thank
great.
You so much. We'll talk
Take
to you
care.
Again soon, all right?
All right, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jude.
Thank you, Jude.
Nice meeting you.
Wow, legs!
Whoa.
It's
we heard about legs.
That's, yeah. That's very, very, very freaky. Very scary.
Dewey, you said, you know, it seems like a lot of people who are sensitive to paranormal activity have these kind of similar-ish experiences. A lot of waking up to someone in front of their bed. A lot of presences.
She reminded me of one story that I had that there was no ghost or anything like that involved, but how she saw her own self. I don't know if I told this story before.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I was in Santa Monica, California, and I was 23, and I was just working in the entertainment industry, and I was doing some laundry at night, and mind you, stone cold sober. Nothing in the system at all. And my laundry room, a lot of apartment buildings in LA, like you go, the garage is open, the garage has no door. And then in the back of the garage is a laundry room.
Okay.
So I went down, I dropped some laundry off and I just walked out of the garage and I'm in the driveway. And usually I would take a left at this point to go up the staircase and back into the apartment, like towards my apartment, but I'm standing there still and I see myself at the top of the driveway, walk towards the top of the driveway, stop and look left.
No. Super weird.
No. I think that might be one of my biggest fears. I've had that kind of fear in the back of my head.
I mean, this was like 7 p.m., 8 p.m., but it was dark, and I was very sober. And now, so this is what I decided to do. I said, I'm going to go walk that same path. And right away, I made this quick decision very quickly, and I said, I'm not going to look left. I'm not going to look left unless something makes me look left. Wow. And I got to the top of the driveway. As soon as I got there, a car accident happened at the end of the block.
Get out of here.
I looked left. I didn't want to look left. I had to look left because I saw the car crash.
That's wild, dude.
It was like seeing through the Matrix, and I just was... I went inside and finished my evening, whatever.
So the thing,
I wasn't scared. I was just like, it was like I was like literally like I got to see the projection of it all for a minute.
Yeah, you've shared some premonitions and some experiences you've had like that are always super fascinating to me. I think one of the things these anecdotes are reminding me of, Brian, we were just covering the book Techniques of High Magic, third edition.
Yeah, we've done two episodes on that.
Two. And one of the things they touch on actually is the practice of astral projection.
Yes.
Where essentially your consciousness literally leaves your body. It's like an intentional out-of-body experience. And all of these stories, what you're talking about, what Jude was talking about, of seeing herself through her mom's eyes, these all sound a lot like the phenomenon of astral projection.
Yeah.
Like stories we've seen of this.
Yeah.
Is that what's happening? I have no idea.
Right. But it sure sounds familiar to that or exactly. Similar to that.
Exactly.
Man, I'm shook by that call. There was some shaking stuff there. Yeah.
There's one other thing that came up that I wanted to bring up.
Yeah. Yeah.
She mentioned apartment buildings. One time I was in New York and somebody pointed out to me, this guy owns a skateboard shop in Brooklyn, pointed out that there's a lot of horseshoes and outside of apartment buildings, older buildings and homes in New York. And there's a reason why, because the iron of the horseshoe and is meant to keep spirits out or depending if it's up. If it's like on, so people, if you're walking around an old city and you see horseshoes above the door frame, that's because they're trying to keep spirits out.
Okay.
Or if they have a clean house, they hang them upside down and they try to keep them from coming back in. Like either get them out or not let them in. Yeah.
There's old like fairy folklore iron is allergic, for lack of a better word. It's a real kryptonite.
Yeah, iron and running water.
Right. Running water comes up a lot.
Yeah.
And like even if it is all, I wonder what, like let's say that there is no spiritual realm and it's all folklore. I wonder where something like running water comes from.
I don't know.
That's
a good question.
That does bring up images of like purity and like.
Well, I will say, here's an interesting thing. Animals, and I'm pretty sure this is true. Animals that have become rabid, that have rabies, will not go near running water.
Interesting.
Like a dog or whatever.
That's a very interesting
rabid
association. Yeah.
So who knows?
Who knows?
Man, that's wild. I don't even know what struck me about her stories too, with the legs and everything, is very like high strangeness.
Very strange.
It wasn't, a spooky ghost with chains. It was like, it's a pair of legs.
Right.
It's like something from another dimension that doesn't quite
belong
here.
That's kind of the sense and vibe I was maybe getting.
Yeah.
I've never seen it, but there's a tale in my hometown about a hunter's hand that in the 1600s, this hunter continued to hunt on a witch's land. And she was fed up and she chopped his hand off. And people say out in Rocky Woods, it's a big forest in Massachusetts, that you'll see just the hunter's hand flying around. Yeah.
Spooky.
And she also saw the decapitated man. So that's two kind of missing body parts. Yeah.
Man, oh man.
Absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of ghost stories, we did get into something off air, which we said we would touch on the show. The little girl in the gas mask.
The little girl. You told us this off the air last time. Would you be game to tell us that story, Dewey?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was in middle school, I'm going to say I was in seventh grade. I was 13, 14, seventh, eighth grade. I had this dream, and it's kind of, it's so interesting. I think similarities between what we just heard, from Jude, but I had this dream, and in the middle of the night, I decided to take a shower in my dream, and I'm showering with the curtain closed. Now this bathroom in real life connects to my parents' bedroom. There's a door. And I'm in the shower and I'm feeling really spooky and my hairs are standing on edge. I'm feeling that, you know, the butterfly feeling. And yeah. I open up the shower curtain and there was a little girl standing there in a white dress and a gas mask, World War II era white dress and gas mask. She's staring at me.
Don't like
and,
that.
And this is all in a dream. This is all in a dream. Then in the dream, we snap. We kind of appear on my back deck in the middle of the night and we look at each other's eyes and have this understanding moment and she disappears.
Now
I wake up the next day and my whole family, it was a Sunday morning, I remember. And like my whole family was having breakfast and like sister-in-laws and brothers and stuff. And the, Mom, I had the scariest dream of my life last night, you know? And, you know, I told her what I just told you guys. And her eyes go big. she goes white. And my dad's kind of like looks freaked out too. And like, you know, my mom's just like, you know, honey, we weren't going to tell you. But last night we woke up in the middle of the night because somebody was knocking on the bedroom window right next to the bathroom door. We figured your brother was locked out of the house or something, you know,
right.
Throwing rocks or whatever. But we wake up in the middle of the night and we look towards that bathroom door. And my parents were wide awake. Little girl in a white dress and a gas mask staring at them.
Horrible.
And my dad corroborated, which is interesting because he's an engineer, a scientist. Mm-hmm. And like, I'd argue in
you mentioned last time your dad doesn't vibe with this stuff usually.
Yeah, he was freaked out and he saw it and they both were awake enough to be like, "Do you see it?" Yeah, and they froze. And I interacted with the thing in my sleep and they saw it in real life.
I just want to throw out there, like, little girl white dress gas mask outside my window. We need to leave now.
Yeah, see you later.
See
We're
you.
Burning down the house.
There is a Brian shaped like, right dust cloud.
Yeah. In the bedroom. It was in front of the window.
No.
Because they woke up thinking someone was knocking the window, and then it was her. And she was next to the bathroom where my dream took place. So it was like, yeah, all very, very, very so to wrap that story up. I was scared,
yeah,
for years.
I'm
took
scared
showers
now.
I took showers with the curtain open. My dad always wanted to kill me. You get on the floor, wet. So
yeah, that's what it's there for. It's bathroom floor.
Yeah. So finally, the night before I moved to Los Angeles, my parents were out of the house. They were in Vegas, and I was like, dude, I don't want to come back to this house when
right.
I'm 40 or 50 and be scared. Anytime. I'm done with this. So what I did. I faced my fears. I shut off all the lights, TV, nothing, no radios, nothing. Oh. I lit like a couple candles so I could see a little bit.
Not in a million damn years. Would Eric and I do that?
No I way. Took a bubble bath right in the room where the ghost was. And I was like, if shit's going down, I ain't scared and nothing happened. And I've never been, I have had since then, I had that one ghost story in that house with like the keyboard that was haunted.
Yep. Keyboard spooky.
Keyboard. But that thing never came back. Yeah.
Dewey, what do you think it is? Because I feel like you have a lot of stories about premonitions. I don't even know if we're going to have time to talk about it tonight, but you've had a lot of interesting experiences in terms of like, I guess for lack of a better word, like manifesting specific things in your life. Yeah. And you've had a lot of just paranormal encounters. What do you think it is? Do you sort of subscribe to Jude's theory that certain people have a certain talent or sensitivity for this stuff, just in the same way like you might have musical talent or comedy talent or whatever, and that you just kind of pick up on it a little
really
bit more and it picks up on you as well?
I have a friend and he's in Idaho. He's a yoga teacher, a meditation teacher, and a Reiki healer. And he has like a sincere he's a medium. He's and he's trained and he helps people.
You think
and
he'd come on the show?
I think we asked that last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to connect you guys.
Great.
I actually was like, I looked at his LinkedIn like a little bit ago, but I was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say I do, but I think some people do. And I think that it's just like, I am a very spiritual guy. I think there's a before life. I think there's an afterlife. I think that you're one beautiful, glowing ball of love and light. And then you get to planet Earth and you're stuffed into this meat sack that shits and farts and burps. And that's the great comedy of the universe. Like, this is the funny thing.
Yeah.
So I think maybe sometimes when you're a baby, like, shit just doesn't, like, certain walls don't go up, you know? There's all these, like, all these stories of babies who are like, yeah, I used to talk to God, but I forgot how. Or they'll be like, there'll be a 2-year-old or a 4-year-old talking to the little the 1-month, you know, 1-year-old brother or sister.
Right.
And the parents what's going on? And they're like, well, he still talks to God and I'm forgetting how. So I'm just like listening in. This stuff you hear it all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've had like a couple like spiritual things where I do kind of believe, like I joke about that, about the, like the orb and like the ever presence of energy, of love. And, you know, and I do think it is funny because the circumstances of this 3D world that we live in are fucking bizarre.
Definitely.
And a big joke. But yeah, I do think, yeah, maybe some people just like, they didn't come out of the oven all the way. You know, they still got the fucking, their corn muffins a little moist, you know, in the middle. So maybe they don't have all the barriers up, you know?
There you go. Yeah. Just a goopy corn muffin in the center, and you see ghosts now.
I love the idea that it's just like it's like a funny prank that gets pulled on these immaculate celestial orbs of love that just get sucked into a dumb body that like smells and you're weird.
And you're like, dude, I'm having diarrhea. I can't.
Yeah,
even
what is
talk.
This?
Like, last month I was flying around like Jupiter just because I could.
Yeah.
And now like I can't even talk. This is horrible.
It's that is so interesting. If like last time Tess Feifel was on the show, and we'll have her on again ASAP. We might have a fun announcement in regards to her.
Oh yeah,
coming soon.
Sure.
But last time she was on the show, she talked about a lot of your standard poltergeist hauntings are like intrinsically connected to puberty. And like someone in the house going through puberty. And if like children are still maybe talking to God in some way and maybe aren't all the way baked and like barriers aren't coming up, hitting puberty could be like a last ditch thing of barriers solidifying. This is me talking entirely out of my ass.
Well, no, if you're talking like, you know, like when your earthly consciousness hits, like, you can't remember anything before age 3 or 4, right?
For sure.
So it's like, okay, at some point something changed in your brain and in your spirit that you just have like, what was before then doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And so therefore, like, you don't know what you knew when you were 6 months old, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
Like you could say that like as your consciousness changes and evolves, maybe that's why some experiences happen, you know, and that's probably why some people who like. Like, for example, that healer, that medium guy, what we talked about is like, for those who are talented and you really work on changing your awareness and your connectedness, it becomes very dangerous. Because negative experiences, but because you could get hooked on living in a reality that isn't the one we're supposed to be in. Like it could be just as good as video games or like any religion or anything that's like, like it's an unhooked, it's an away move, you know,
it can make like you not present. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to really, you know, that's why I think if there's some people who are like professionals and make a living doing it and like they can handle it and separate it from like their life, you know, like I can't even separate fucking, you know, like doing the stupid stuff I do for a living from my life. So never mind like something crazy, you know?
Sure. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean there. Yeah. Eric, is there, I, Is there anything else you'd like to go? We have a little bit of time left. I found a spooky story on Reddit. I know there was, you maybe had a topic you wanted to get into, or we could save that for another time if you want to like go more deep into it.
I don't know. I mean, Dewey, I feel like this is probably going to be another episode if you'll come back. I don't know if we scared you off the show.
Listen, I think I have a closer. I have a closer. If you want here, you can cut it if you want.
Yeah.
Hey, did I tell the story about the any stories about college? I don't think
I don't think so. No.
Okay. I went to college in Boston, downtown Boston, and one night towards the end of the semester, this was freshman year. This was like May. Like so all the college kids were leaving. Boston was quieter. Mm-hmm. You know, only like, you know, only 30 kids were even left at campus. Or some, you know, a couple hundred, right?
Right.
So friends of ours, we went to a party in Beacon Hill on Joy Street. Mm. And Beacon Hill, this particular street, if you go up the hill, you get to like the State House and down in Boston Common. And typically, like, we lived on a campus that was right on Boston Common. So like we would just cut through the Common to go back to the dorms. This night we were on Joy Street. After the party, we decided, like, let's walk down the hill towards the river, towards Cambridge Street, and we'll walk up to Back Bay, up Cambridge Street. This is on the Charles River. So we're, you know, it's myself and two other guys. And the kind of the funny thing is that we're all short, stout, and look similar. Like, there's the Greek version, and there's, like, the Puerto Rican version, and there's the Portuguese guy. It was like three Warios, you know? Yeah.
Those are the kind of guys who build the world.
Yeah. Yeah, like bricklayers. So we're walking down Cambridge Street, and we take a left up Charles Street. Now, Charles Street is probably the fanciest street in downtown Boston. Mm. Literally still has gas lamps and cobblestones, very expensive restaurants, and like just a very fancy place. Like Tom Brady's and like John Kerry live behind Charles. This is like millionaire central.
Yeah,
it's very, you're never going to get, you could get jumped on Boston Common easily. Like, I know plenty of people who have. Charles Street is the safest option.
Got it.
So we're like, this just like go the safe way for once. Yeah. Like, relax. So we're walking down Charles Street, these three guys, and this girl comes walking at us. She's walking fast and she's going like, ah! Right? And like not screaming
out. Eric and I both just jumped back.
Yeah. And she's screaming in like a weird voice, right? We're like, so being 18-year-old, 19-year-old idiots, like who had a couple beers in us, just like, we laughed at her.
I know this story.
Right? So we just thought it was weird.
Right.
Like, I don't know why we decided to tease her, but like we couldn't help it. Like the three of us collectively right? So that's fine. We think it's okay, whatever. You know, we're going to keep walking. She's going to keep walking. She was just being nuts. She was like a college age girl who looked fairly normal. All of a sudden, she goes, hey, guys, they're making fun of me. Go get them. And we look across the street, and there's like five or six giant men. They look like the Harvard fucking row team.
No.
Two guys, like all Fred from Scooby-Doo. Blonde hair and biceps, and they go, we'll get them. They start chasing us down.
No way.
They're on like the west side of the street. We're on the east side, or we're on opposite sides of Charles Street, running up through the gas lamps and stuff. We're sprinting as fast as our little legs can take us. And these guys are gonna beat our asses. Now, I won't say the names of the other guys, but one of them is a TV producer now, and one is a giant cinematographer. They're very successful. If you call them, they would say this is exactly what happened. So we keep sprinting down Charles Street. These giant men are chasing after us. And I go, let's cut right over there. So we cut across the street. Now we're on the same side of the street. But as we cross over the street, there's a car parked, and there's a couple hooking up.
Wow.
And our jaws drop. Like, we couldn't believe, like, yeah. But anyways, we just got to keep moving. But one of the guys, his jaw, he was so surprised and shocked to see this act. He tripped on a low fence.
Oh, no.
And he smashes his leg. He's bleeding bad. We pick him up, and now we're dragging him, and we're running as fast as we can, and we ditch around the corner, so now those guys can't see us, and I go down that alleyway. I know this alleyway will get us over to Beacon Street, and where all of our dorms were. This is the craziest part. We go down the alleyway, and you know, in like in New York, in Boston, you see fog and steam that comes out of the sewer. So there's like a spotlight, like, and there's this steam coming out of a manhole cover. And I'm not making this up or joking. A giant man, he was like 6'5", and he had like a trench coat, and he had chains. He was dragging.
No,
no
way. He had
a hook
for an arm.
No,
like fucking Super Shredder. I swear to God. And we were like, so now, like, we just, all this happens, like, the girl, the guys, I'll get him. The pup, we trip, Manny trips, we're dragging him. Now we think we're finally safe, and this monster is dragging chains.
You've had a full Adventures in Babysitting just in a couple of minutes.
And we just, like, we just pass him, and everybody went back to the dorms, and I had some pizza in my fridge, and I was like,
nice.
Oh, man, I feel, and, like, it was weird, it was creepy, like, the state police were out. It was a weird night, and I was like, man, I feel so bad that we ran away from that man with the hook for an arm. Like, you know,
he's probably
should go
a nice guy.
Yeah, like I don't need to act like he was grotesque. He was probably a veteran. And then I was like, I'm gonna go bring him some pizza. I go back out down the dorm.
There's
the
beers talking
down the alleyway, and then like down to Charles Street, and the guy's not there, but the six Harvard frat boys are all fucking like laid out, like they had the shit kicked out of them and cut with a hook. And I looked, and the guy
I'm
making that part up. But it did happen. I went back to my dorm and went to bed terrified. The rest of that story is totally
That's crazy, crazy man.
That's fucking buck goddamn wild. Dewey, you are a Hall of Famer, all time guest.
Raconteur.
You may never be topped.
Yeah.
Eric is Dewey, you got to come back again for part three of.
I'd love to.
Anytime you're on
the point next time too.
Eric, is there anything else we should go over?
I think we nailed it.
I think we covered it. Nice. I think this is a great one. That's gonna wrap up this broadcast for this evening. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Real fast, we want to say thank you to Purple Planet and Carl Casey and White Bat Audio for the use of their music and the cheese. Do you want to get in touch with us? You can send us an email at spookybriananderic@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at @BrianandEricPod. That's the best place to reach out. If you want to call into the show and tell us your ghost story, we'll hook something up there. Check out our blog at briananderic.show. Follow us on YouTube and anywhere else you can hit a follow button. We would like it if you followed us there. Eric just gave me a look. What did I do wrong?
Nothing.
What did I do wrong? You gave me a, what are you talking about, dude?
The super now? No, you're killing it.
I must be imagining things. Let's see. For both of us here, Brian and Eric don't belong here. Thank you for listening. And stay safe out there.
Good night.
On StreamYard currently. Now I'm recording to the SD card. I'm going to mute everybody and we will go live. Eric, do you want to bring us in?
Sure. Do you care if I do the full intro or can I be like,
whatever you want to do? Whatever you want to do.
So when I
unmute you, we just got new equipment.
Nice. Gotcha. So I don't need to do like a 15 seconds of silence or anything. Just
when I hit you, because I'm going to play the music. So when I hit you,
okay,
time to go.
evening, everybody. I like to really punch the good evening. Welcome to Brian and Eric Jump Along here. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Eric. I'm here with my better half, the man who carries this show.
I'm the better half?
You're the better half.
That's not good.
It's not saying much. Brian, what's up, man?
Not too much, man. I'm feeling good. I'm excited for this one. Dude, I feel like we're on a good spree here.
We're convincing a lot of talented people to talk to us.
And that's the dream. We just got to trick people into it.
Yep. Yep. Who do we have here tonight?
Eric, you're not going to believe this.
I feel like I definitely won't.
Who we have hiding here behind a stack of books.
Where
all of our guests hide.
Wow.
In the New York Public Library. Return to the show. One of our favorite guests of all time. It's Dewey Morrison.
Dewey's back.
Dewey's back.
Dewey Mo, baby.
Hello. Hello. Thanks for having me.
Dewey, thank you so much for coming on. How you been, man?
Pretty great. Pretty great. I love that theme music, man. It really sets the mood.
It's very really spooky,
just my brain
right?
just switched over from eating bread and butter sweet pickles from Trader Joe's in the in the California sunshine to being ready to talk about some spooky shit.
Yeah, I feel like the clouds rolled in a little bit when we put that music out. A little gray.
Got a shout. It's Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. That's just royalty free. He just put that up on YouTube. Use it for whatever.
Do you know Carl Casey or did
no,
you just find
just
that?
No, I just found it on YouTube.
I always thought in my head that you're buds with Carl Casey.
Yeah, sound, yeah.
Wow.
No, just a dude who put cool music, and he's got like 30 tracks on YouTube, all free to use for whatever you want. And
wow.
It's fucking dope.
That's
excellent resource. It's there's no other like fucking free music that sounds that fucking good. Like you would assume I at least paid for that.
Yeah.
But no, you just have to like just say he did it.
Incredible.
Carl Casey, White Bat Audio. I'll say it 6 times.
Can we say if someone, I'd like to pay it forward. If someone wants to sample our voices,
everything we do is just fair game.
Just take it. Do something.
I'm gonna do a song in GarageBand tomorrow. By next Wednesday, I'll have a song from your voices from this.
Please,
episode,
wonderful.
Yeah. Please,
wonderful. Definitely. Can that be our new theme song?
It will not be.
We'll
as good
do
as
it.
That one.
If you make us a song, we'll use it for at least one episode.
Okay.
Dewey, we're so excited to have you back on. You were on one of our favorite episodes of all time where you just told us a bunch of spooky stories. We have no real plan for this one. We don't have an overall topic. We're just excited to catch up and just talk spooky stuff with you.
In that sense, it's like every other one of our episodes.
I did say that like we go into any episode with a plan. It's every single time I hit
like
record.
A plan.
Every single time I hit record, there's just an element of oh god.
We've done it again. Go ahead.
Dude. I was just gonna say, for like the last 5 years of my life, every day has been an effort to try to not have a plan ever again for anything. So I love that, and I'm envious, and keep it going.
That's great. Is that we did have one thing we maybe wanted to discuss? It's not a show topic, but is that the opposite of The Secret?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think you could argue it both ways. I'll throw it to you. What do you think?
Yeah. Okay. So what I meant by that is that, like, especially with art, like, I really enjoy improvising and winging it. And if I have to do any sort of legwork or physical production or memories, like, I'll do it. But it's just, I'd rather just have a blast. And that goes with life. I wish life... Basically,
Dewey,
I want to be Joe
Dewey,
Walsh
so
in 1975.
I didn't hit record.
Oh, really? How am I going to make the song?
This is the most Brian and Eric. Can you just record? I say
I have our backup. I didn't record it on the SD card where the actual high quality version. So I will. I'm going to play. This is not all lost. I will isolate this and play it at the end.
This is the greatest thing we've ever done, actually.
It's really good to have to actually restart this. For me, I would be happy to restart it totally. So
great.
Yeah, I've done that on podcasts before, and then we're gonna use this mic for these 20 minutes.
I have the backup, so everything we just said is not completely lost. Yeah. But I'm gonna.
This is actually a good point to ask. It's still there's no video, right?
There is no video. No,
oh,
this
good,
will be purely
I hate
audio.
My background, so that's good to know. Okay.
Yeah. No. This is purely audio only. This is just so we can see each other's faces while we talk.
Okay.
Okay, cool. We're going to take that again. I'm going to mute everybody. Sorry about that. Warm up.
We should do that more.
Forget?
Yeah, it's just like a fake one.
Or you mean a warm up?
Well, but don't tell them it's a warm up.
Yeah. All right. You good to bring us in again?
Sure. Ladies and germs, bada bing, bada boom. Welcome to Brian and Eric Jump Along here.
You go to ladies and germs so many times, and now I just think it should just be the intro to the show.
It makes no sense as just a phrase. I think I get nervous in the intro, and I just channel like a 1930s vaudeville host. I don't even know where that phrase came from. I'm one of your hosts. I shouldn't even be doing the intro. I'm Eric. I'm here with my better half, the illustrious, the wonderful.
I'm the better half?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm trying to recapture a magic that we had.
We had a great intro before. Hey, it's not saying much.
We did do a full couple of minutes of an intro, and I fully forgot to hit record.
It was a great warm-up.
Brian and Eric classic.
That is a classic Brian and Eric move. We do have a guest tonight.
We do, who we've thoroughly embarrassed ourselves in front of.
Yeah, as per usual.
Dewey Morrison is here, one of our favorite guests of all time. Favorite episodes. Dewey, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's folks. If you heard it, they did it word for word. I mean, these guys are top notch. They remembered everything they said. So,
well, obviously, we script it. Obviously, the entire podcast is written.
We rehearsed the heck out of this thing.
Yeah.
Dewey, we're so excited to have you back. You were last time you were on is one of our favorite episodes of all time. You told us a whole bunch of ghost stories. We have less of a plan this time around.
Yeah.
Last time you serenaded us with some phenomenally spooky stories. But this time around, I think we're just going to talk about whatever we feel like talking about.
We'll let the universe guide us.
Yeah. Do you want to know something that's kind of twisted about me? I was feeling a little down last night, and there was a moment when I was like, oh, I know what I can do to cheer up. I'm going to either watch a documentary or read a book about the Hockomock Swamp in the Bridgewater Triangle and all the spooky shit I grew up in. That would put most people in an off-putting mood. For me, it's like reading like a children's, like a little Rumpelstiltskin or something. You know, it's really, it soothes me even.
I literally didn't hit record again.
No way.
I've now done it so I can't possibly fuck it up again.
I think you did hit it in a ghost. Unhit it.
Yeah, I think a ghost unhit record. I saw you, dude, get the mic so close to your face with just a look of such childlike innocent glee that I was like, wow, he really loves this anecdote about the Bridgewater Triangle.
I thought he hates this so much. I look like